3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Tuesday afternoon. It is another one of those absolutely glorious days. Today is a day to enjoy because tomorrow we got rain moving in. And I guess a pretty good chunk of rain, certainly in the morning and probably hitting us again early afternoon. President Trump has notched one or two victories at the Supreme Court level. Our friend, former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is going to be with us at 3:35. Looking forward to catching up with him and hearing what he makes of these recent decisions from the Supremes. Has there been a corner which has been turned? I don't know. That's why we've got Joe Moreno joining us. The Oscars are moving further and further towards becoming participation trophies. I'll give you some details on that. More lies apparently coming from Team Biden when it comes to, well, everything, I know, but anybody else thinking that Karine Jean-Pierre right about now is saying to reporters, there's no, it's not true. Joe Biden does not have cancer. Because you know she would say that. You know that all of these buffoons would say that. And the cover-up, man, the cover-up continues. And I hate to say this, but I will be the bearer of bad news, or the bearer at least of honest statements. It will continue until Joe Biden actually passes away. It will. And there was a very, very interesting post that I saw earlier from a person. Well, is it Scott Allinger? He created Dilbert. He created the cartoon Dilbert. And he shared in his social media post that he, too, has this exactly the same sort of prostate cancer, according to him, as Joe Biden has. And he said he has been told he will be gone in about 2 months. 2 months at the outside. Now, I don't know the situation completely and totally with Mr. Biden, but it's interesting. And again, the timing of it. Anybody who does not think that it was time to coincide with the release of the Jake Tapper book today, you are out of your mind. You really, really should not go out alone. You need some help as you attempt to do anything and everything. You're just not quite where you need to be. All right. Well, listen, that's all of the very, very, very important stuff, and none of it particularly happy. However, I will tell you that I have some breaking news, and it is exclusive to the Jeff Katz Show. Now, you know, I have a wide variety of sources. I have ace reporters everywhere. And I have an update from one of my ace reporters, Emily Morrissey. Oh, yeah. Well, Emily Morrissey doesn't just make beautiful bracelets, Emily's Bracelets, emilysbracelets.com. No, she is following any number of stories. She is our designated Peppa Pig reporter, and there is a big report coming in from the Peppa Pig family. Mom had a little baby, a little girl pig. Mummy Pig had a baby girl, and she's named Evie. And Emily wanted to make sure early this morning, as soon as she became aware of this, that I had the update. Now I have the update, which means you have the update. So congratulations to the entire family over there, now including little baby Evie. Thank you. Thank you, Emily. Ace reporter on the spot. Never, ever miss a story when Emily is working the beat. All right, we got a lot of stuff that we will get to today. Let me remind you that the James River Air text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You are thinking something and you think that everybody needs to know what it is, then by all means, hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. I will, well, I have to annoy you. And I know it's annoying, and I apologize, but it's the season. It's the Richmond Times-Dispatch Best of competition. It always happens right around this year, right around this time of year, rather. And first there is the nomination process, and then there's the actual voting process. So the nominations continue, what is it, till June 4th, right? I think it's June the 4th. And you'll need to go to the following website, go.richmond.com/the best, go.richmond.com/the best. There are a lot of my friends who are in the running for a lot of very, very appropriate prizes. Well, I mean, people want to be the best of, right? Yesterday, we were chatting with a couple of my pals, Dr. Brian Snyder, Janine Snyder. Chronic Care of Richmond, invariably selected as the best chiropractic practice in Central Virginia, and Weight Loss RBA, last year, big winner of the best weight loss facility. And anyway, so I'm going to put up a full list. I know that I'm a little remiss in that, and I do apologize. I've had a little bit of life going on. You know how that is. But I will get that together, I'm hoping, tonight. Poor Jeremy is also trying to figure out days that I will not be here over the next couple of months, because he's got to, well, I don't know exactly what he has to do. Maybe those are the days he plays the lottery, because he feels really lucky. But Jerem, I'm going to get that to you, I promise. And I have another favor. Oh, well, let me tell you what this first favor is. Please nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I haven't been over there in a couple of days, so I don't know what it looks like at the moment, but I would ask you to please nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I got a number of good suggestions for the plaque maker of all plaque makers. And so I'm going to make a couple of calls and send a couple of emails and see what we have in that area. Well, we're starting. There's going to be, I can't give you too many details on this, but there's going to be another award that I am going to bestow. And that's all I'm going to say right now. But it is such a major undertaking. And it's going to be such a huge, huge thing that I want to be sure the very first time that we present it, this plaque that is presented to whomever the recipient might be, I'm not giving any clues at all, but to whomever it is that gets it, that they will be appropriately impressed. And, you know, we need more hate. Everybody talks about love and get together and work together. You know, I listen in the mornings, right? And Rich Herrera, God bless him. Oh, we should work together. Now, we need more hate right about now. So what I ask you to do, you know, we used to have a sponsored hate voicemail. We did. We had it. It was sponsored. People made money on it. I mean, we were living the American dream, all based in pure contempt and hatred for yours truly. I know it's tough to understand, but it's out there. So I would suggest, please, since now what we do is purely text, the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, send a little hate my way, will you? Seriously, I'm looking for a good hate text or two or 10. Now, you need to be creative. You need to be imaginative, which I know can be difficult for those who are, well, you know, haters. But an obscenity is not creative. It is what it is. Profanity is not really all that creative, unless it is a creative use of profanity, in which case it becomes almost like another language. But, of course, I won't be able to share that on the air. So then, you know, what the heck's the point of being creative and sending it? So if you do have nothing but contempt and hatred for me, that's fine. I don't mind living in your head rent-free at all. But put it down as a text, would you please? The James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Again, make it creative, and if it's really creative, I promise I will share it. What else did I want to mention to you? Oh, Amazon. Does anybody know if Amazon really is selling 8647 merchandise? A couple of folks mentioned that to me, and I've been out all day. I got to tell you, this is the first chance I've had basically to sit down for more than a couple of moments. Heidi and I were out doing a few things. So if you've seen any of that 8647 merchandise out there, is it really over on Amazon? I'm finding it difficult to believe, but unfortunately not that difficult to believe. But again, you can hit me up with the James River Air text line. Let me know if you've seen it. 833-804-1140. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. And now there's a new sister, Evie. Congratulations. I was going to say Mazel Tov, but that seems sort of inappropriate for the pig family. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Hey, wishing them well. Let me see. 804, hit me up with the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, the lies about Papa Joe will continue from the grave. Oh, I agree with you. Absolutely agree with you. 804, Jeff, word is that Amazon is selling the 8647 merchandise. Ugh. 804, Jeff, as an avid Trump supporter and mostly right-leaning Republican, I feel the conservative media should take the high road and allow President Biden to live out his days in peace. The election is over. Time to move on. No, totally disagree with you. No, I do. I totally disagree. I agree with this. Let Joe Biden have whatever time he has left to enjoy the time that he has left. I don't have a problem with that part of it. But I am not going to pretend that it was not a massive coordinated effort to deceive and lie. Sorry, not going to let that go. And it's not just the Democrat Party hacks who are in on it. People like Abigail Spanberger, who is continuing to lie about everything because that's what she's always done. But they lied about all of this from day one. They all knew what was going on with Biden. Now they're all trying to say, well, I didn't spend much time with him. I was only there on the good days. Huh. Okay. If you say so, but I don't believe you. And the Jake Tappers of the world, what an absolute farce that is, which, by the way, this little commentary germ, not going to move us further up on that booking Jake Tapper thing that I tried to do. But nonetheless, I'll tell the truth about him. I think he's another phony, another fraud, another hypocrite, another liar, another one who's trying to pimp his book. Now, I don't mind him pimping his book. Lord knows I have a variety of things that on a regular basis I am trying to sell. It's part of my business. However, he was part of that cover-up. That Schmuck Todd character was part of the cover-up. They were all in on that. That's how much they hate Donald Trump. And by extension, that's how much they hate us. Yeah. Todd in the West End. All right, now this is like the first official new hate text. Todd, I can't share that on the air. I mean, I get what you're saying, but no. All right. John from New Kent says, Jeff, I am saving all my hate for Rich in his morning. In the morning, and his we must compromise with Democrats attitude. All right, Herrera, there you go. You got your first official afternoon hate from John in New Kent. Let's see. Jeff, I just checked on my Amazon account. Yep, T-shirts, hats, stickers, etc. that say 8647 are now for sale on Amazon. Man, that is just ugly. Wow. Ernie from Chesterfield says, hey, Jeff, they absolutely are selling the 8647 shirts, stickers, coffee mugs, and more on Amazon. Tiny Tim hits out and says, Jeff, play some more of the Rubio embarrassing Tiny Tim Kaine. Hey, Germ, can we grab some more of that? Because Marco was absolutely on fire. And, well, let's not kid ourselves. Tiny Tim was, as per usual, out of his weight class. But it really was rather entertaining. Wasn't it? Well, I think it is. I think it's very entertaining. We'll get a little more of that. Yeah. idea. 804, hey, Jeff, we all know that Abigail Spanberger worked for the CIA. Do you really believe what she has to say? No, I wouldn't believe Abigail Spanberger if, in fact, she handed me an umbrella while it was raining and said, look, this is for you. Look, it's raining. Nope. Sorry, I wouldn't believe anything Abigail Spanberger has to say, mainly because I know her to be a proven liar. But other than that, fine person. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Oh, we got lots of great stuff going on, and I got to tell you, in the background, we have a beautiful day. Weather-wise, goodness gracious, this is fantastic. And I would urge you, open a window, get outside. Tomorrow, early, rain is moving in. It's going to be really heavy in the morning. And depending on what I'm looking at here, is either going to stick around right through the afternoon or it's going to reappear in the afternoon. But any way you slice it, tomorrow is going to be a washout. President Trump has sort of a mixed record at the Supreme Court these days, but there were a couple of things that I thought seemed pretty positive. The Supreme's saying, yeah, you could revoke the temporary protection, if I understand it correctly, for certain people. Now, I am not an attorney, as you know, not even close. And that means that I bring in the very best that I can. Even if I were an attorney, I would still bring in the best legal mind. That, of course, former federal prosecutor, friend of mine, great guy, Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Counselor, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, you're too kind, as always, but great to be here with you.
It is always great to have you here, sir. Let us dive right into this. The Supreme Court has had one or two things to say about some of these measures that have come before them relative to the president. Is he on the winning side or the losing side when you look at percentages or at bats?
You know, I'd say he's on the winning side. I think that the vast majority of these several dozen cases, which are stalled at the district court level for various reasons, the vast majority will go to the Trump administration's favor eventually, but that's when they get to the Supreme Court. And as you've seen, only a few have trickled up there at this point because it takes a while, unless you convince the justices to accelerate it. And so I think, we can, you know, once we before we dive into them, I think it's fascinating, not just from us, you know, for us legal nerds, but for everyone, I think, to see very much the civics lesson that we're getting these days, the difference between executive power and what the legislative does, right? The difference between regulations and statutes. What is exactly the role of the judiciary, right? Our Article III branch of government. And so, I think it's really fascinating to see the push-pull that's happening right now. And it's very clear, right? The left is using the courts as their last bit of power, right, to try to impede the Trump administration as best they can. So let's touch on the first one that you mentioned, which is the temporary protected status case, right, the TPS case for Venezuelan migrants. So Joe Biden, right, in his sort of infinite wisdom, stretched beyond the breaking point his powers of president in order to basically facilitate as much illegal immigration as possible. And so he took a system, the TPS system, which is supposed to exist for case-by-case situations where someone can make a credible argument that they are seeking protected status because the country where they're coming from is so unpleasant, is so dangerous, is so you know, difficult for them to be there. And let's face it, those places exist. I'm not saying they don't. But what President Biden did was he just provided this status to swaths of people. I think it was about 250,000 people from Venezuela alone. So here you have this sort of broad application of a program that was never meant to be used this way. Then you have the court stepping in saying, well, we know one president applied the program this way, but we're not going to let the next president reverse it. We want these to go case by case. So hundreds of thousands of cases, the district courts would want to kind of flow through the courts one by one. So we're talking about not only is the program misused, Now the courts are making it near impossible to unwind its misuse. So that's the situation that was before the court this week.
And when you look at the comments or the decisions or what have you, or who was on which side, what did the people, what did the justices on what I would say was the other side, the folks who said, oh, no, we should keep doing this crazy thing where we let Biden apply it any way he wants, and then we tell Trump, no, you can't do it anyway except the way Biden did it. I'm assuming that's Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. Is that, would those be the three?
That's normally the three, but actually in the TPS case, it went 8-1 with Brown Jackson being the only one. So
what?
You know you're in a bad position when you get
Boy, if I would have taken the over-under on that, I'm losing my entire wow. Is she even allowed to come to the break room anymore?
If you're the left, and this was your case, you know you've got a weak hand when you've lost two out of three of the progressives. I mean, that's pretty darn bad. You don't see that too often. And I think for those of us who on the legal side come at things with a more conservative, bent on things,
yeah.
I think what we find so frustrating with some of these judges or justices at the Supreme Court level is that you kind of always know. You usually know where they're going to come out because it's the favored, it's the favored outcome that they want. And then they figure out a clever legal argument how to back into it. Mm-hmm. And, look, if that's the way they want to run their courts, that's, seems like that's the way they do it. The conservative side of being a judge of the judicial process is not to determine what the conservative political conclusion is and then find a way to get there. It's to apply the law in a way as narrowly focused to how you believe Congress intended it to be, not how a creative president or secretary of DHS or other clever executive wanted to apply that law. And so I think that's why it's so frustrating when we see these wacky results from a court. Thankfully, in this case, we got a pretty sound result. Basically, where the court said, no, the Trump administration is free to unravel things. The courts cannot apply case-by-case determination, and the district court, therefore, has to let the Trump administration proceed with unwinding the program.
Joe Moreno is joining us, a former federal prosecutor, brilliant attorney, practices all over the world, is on media around the world. Joe, I want to ask you about another justice, actually two other justices, because while the left probably just outraged on many ways that Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was the only one on, quote, their side on this case, a lot of the folks on my side of the aisle, the conservative side of the aisle, say, you can't trust John Roberts and this Amy Coney Barrett, man. She's like the latter day David Souter. She's gone all bent. She's not doing what she's supposed to. Is that the case, or are they so enamored with that judicial process that there's something else at play?
Well, I mean, it's kind of both, right? I think many of us on the conservative side have not forgiven Chief Justice Roberts for the Affordable Care Act decision,
true,
where he was the deciding vote in a 5-4 decision to allow Obamacare to exist, coming up with a very, very creative way to keep that statute alive. And so I think a lot of us, even though it's been how many years, haven't forgotten that. So there's substantive issues that Roberts comes up with sometimes, and it's also the process that you point out, that he and Coney Barrett are particularly against the idea of accelerating cases on the emergency docket to the Supreme Court. They like cases to go through their normal process, which is district court, circuit court of appeals, sometimes with a panel, sometimes with the full court, mm-hmm. sometimes both, and then ultimately the Supreme Court, which takes typically 18 to 24 months or longer. Mm. So, and as far as Coney Barrett, I would, and even Roberts, I would remind people that most of the time they do come through with a more conservative read of things. There's the Dobbs decision, which of course overturned Roe v. Wade, where they were both two reliable votes on the conservative side. So I think when it usually when it counts, they can come up, they can be relied on to come up with a reasonable interpretation of the law. But yeah, I mean, there's been some concerns even recently with this case on national injunctions, right? And whether district courts can just put a put the kibosh on something nationwide, even though it's only before them in a particular person in a particular district. And yet they say, we're going to apply our injunction everywhere. Right. And Coney Barrett, she raised some questions at the oral arguments recently that showed she may have some leaning toward the progressive argument here. So again, the verdict, the jury's not out yet, so to speak. We don't know how she'll ultimately rule, but she did raise some questions that kind of raised some eyebrows on our side.
When you're looking at those district court judges and what many of us, I'm not speaking for you, but speaking for myself, I think they're definitely overstepping their bounds by having, as you say, one person, in some cases, just tangentially connected to their district and then applying this nationwide. You told us a week or two ago that it really had to be handled by Congress, that the Chief Justice, despite what most of us think, he doesn't really run the entire federal court system. And so since these districts are creations of Congress, they either have to defund them or change them. Are you getting any sense that anybody there wants to do that?
You know, if there's anyone to be a little disappointed with on our side, it is the Republicans in Congress, because it doesn't seem difficult to discern what exactly their priorities are these days. I think that one of them very much should be a look at the construct and the jurisdiction of our Article III courts, which, as you point out, other than the Supreme Court, which is the only court that is established by the Constitution, all the other 93 districts and their respective circuits above them are created by Congress. And Congress in the past has limited their jurisdiction over certain kinds of matters. And so it's probably going to be up to Congress to continue to do that. So if we think, and don't take my word for it, just look at the numbers, there's been an explosion of these district court nationwide injunctions under President Trump. There were virtually none before his first term. It spiked under his first term. Then they flattened out and they've spiked again. So you have very, very aggressive district judges applying their rulings nationwide. And again, if someone doesn't kind of pull the leash on them, it will continue. And I don't know if Chief Justice Roberts has the chops to do that.
Is Pam Bondi in a situation to say we are going to pursue some sort of legal action with decisions that were made inside the Biden White House? The more we know about where Joe Biden was cognitively, mentally, it's clear he couldn't make these decisions, the auto pen, all that stuff. Does she have the standing to go in, I don't know, to the Supreme Court and say we have to unravel all this stuff?
It's going to be tough. I mean, gosh, I think we all saw with our own eyes what was going on. And I think the gaslighting by the media was just unreal, basically working as an extension of the White House press office and covering Biden's tracks. And I do think that this is a ripe issue for Congress to at least hold hearings. I know those hearings don't always amount to much, but they are able to flush out what happened, because they can issue subpoenas and demand testimony. So at a minimum, I think we should see that, to see what exactly the former president's cognitive state was, his health state in general with this recent cancer prognosis. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's okay, but the idea that this was just discovered last week is very, very sketchy. So to answer your question, yes, I think the Justice Department should pursue it, but there's going to be a lot of fact-finding first. And I think you're going to see a huge application or assertion of executive privilege. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, well, I worked for the president and I can't talk about what we discussed. And that's not a very solid concept. It's not like attorney-client privilege, which is very solid. Yep. Executive privilege has its limitations, but I think you're going to hear a lot of that for people who do not want to actually admit what they saw and heard over the last 4 years.
Interesting. Wow, it's always fascinating stuff, Joe. I am so grateful to you for always making time for us and always explaining this in ways that laymen like me can understand it. And I just thank you for it. Remind everybody, though, in addition to showing up here, which is fantastic, you show up all over the place, writings that are out there. Remind everybody where they can follow you on social media, where they can read you, etc.
Hey, you can catch me at The Spectator, which is an online magazine and print as well. It's a fantastic periodical that stems from our brothers and sisters in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the BBC a lot. So I guess I could say getting a lot of publicity from our friends across the pond. But always a fun time, Jeff, to join you and your viewers.
You are the best. Thank you, my friend. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, but more importantly, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is, yes, it is Tuesday. I'm a little too excited for Tuesday, right? But I'll tell you what, we're going to do at 4 o'clock. The dust-up between Secretary of State Marco Rubio and our very own Tiny Tim Kaine in the U.S. Senate is, it was priceless. It was absolutely priceless. And it was so, well, priceless. I'm sticking with priceless, Jerem. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? But it was so interesting that Jeremy said, I just can't pull the best pieces. There, it's just, it's like hit after hit after hit. They're all chart toppers, for those of you that are old-time music people, right? Well, what we're going to do at 4 o'clock, let's just, Jeremy, if it's all right, let's just roll it. We'll listen to it, and if we have to stop it, we'll stop it. And while you are getting ready for that, let me urge you, head on over right now, go.richmond.com/thebest. Nominate The Jeff Katz Show for Best Afternoon Radio Show. go.richmond.com/thebest. Couple of things happen. Number one, you put this show in a stronger position for everything that we do. You want to hear President Trump on again? Well, you got to make sure we're once again the best afternoon show in all of Central Virginia. You want to make sure the biggest names are dropping by. You want to make sure that we're reaching as many people. That's what you have to do. go.richmond.com/thebest. And just for added giggles, it really annoys all of the leftists at the newspapers. So see, it's a win-win. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Some news just coming across, which is very sad. If, in fact, you were a fan of the old show Cheers, George Wendt has passed away, 76 years old. We'll listen to Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, and Tiny Tim Kaine in a moment. Jerem, President Trump is speaking right now live about what he wants to do. He wants a golden dome for us. Do we have that available?
Been the one that helped or really created Space Force. Space Force has turned out to be a tremendous success. We were third in space, and now we're number one in space by a lot. It's not even close. And Mike is a four-star Space Force general, the recipient of the Defense Distinguished Service Medal, one of the most respected people in the world having to do with defense. You know, we have offense and we have defense. I'll bet he's good at offense, too. And he has an unmatched background in missile warning technology and defense procurement. General Goodline also knows that we need to move fast. No one is more qualified for his job. And everybody, this was a universal acceptance of General Goodline. Everybody that knows him and knows everybody else, they said there's only one man for the job. So I have a feeling we have the right guy. But now I'd like to invite Secretary Hegseth and the general to please say a few words and describe the system a little bit. And we appreciate you being here. The press has really been very fair over the last period of a couple of months. I don't know what happened to you. It was so much more exciting the other way. But you've been very, very fair. We have very high poll numbers, the highest we've ever had. And I think we're doing a great job. We had a tremendous trip to the Middle East, as you know. It was a really amazing trip. And now I came home, and this is the one I was really looking forward to, this day, because this is very important for the success and even survival of our country. It's a pretty evil world out there. So this is something that goes a long way toward the survival of this great country. And as I said, we'll be discussing Canada. They want to hook in and they want to see if they can be a part of it. That sort of makes sense. I guess that's what I was talking about from day one. You know, it just automatically makes sense. And it won't be very difficult to do, but they'll pay their fair share. Thank you very much, everybody. And Pete, go ahead.
Sure. Well, Mr. President, add this to the long and growing list of promises made and promises kept. Ultimately, this right here, the Golden Dome for America, is a game changer. It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans. Mr. President, you said we're going to secure our southern border and get 100% operational control after the previous administration allowed an invasion of people into our country. President Reagan, 40 years ago, cast the vision for it. The technology wasn't there. Now it is, and you're following through to say we will protect the homeland from cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, hypersonic missiles, drones, whether they're conventional or nuclear. And it's not lost on me, sir, also, that you had the vision to start the Space Force, and here we are, when the others said we didn't need it, here we are in the Oval Office with one of the leaders of the Space Force, in General Guetlein, leading the charge on putting in place a game-changing Golden Dome for America. So, sir, it's an honor to be a part of this bold initiative. We're going to get to work on it. We have been since you signed that executive order on January 27th. We've been fast-forward on this. We're here on this day, and this is just one stop in delivering this defense of the homeland, which is something you've charged us with doing, and we'll keep going until it is complete, sir.
All right, well, there you go. That is SecDef Pete Hegseth. Oh, it's just fun to say it. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. You're listening to him describe the brand-new Golden Dome. President Trump speaking before that. We are, I would say most of us at this point, familiar with the Iron Dome, correct? Israel developed this some time ago. It has, for the most part, been extremely successful and has protected Israel from incoming missiles. That's what it's designed to do. And the Iron Dome protecting Israel, again, that's a Bibi Netanyahu thing. And it's a much smaller area. If you've been wondering, well, how come we haven't done it here before? Israel is about the size of New Jersey. That's about it. So much easier to take the technology, deploy it, to make it effective for such a limited area. But based on what Israel has done with the Iron Dome and the desire by President Trump to actually protect the United States of America from invaders and enemies, something the Biden team didn't have any interest in at all. Now the Golden Dome is what President Trump is calling it, and it's going to be stood up. I think it's fantastic. I really do. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Will make each and every one of us that much safer. And you can thank President Trump for that. You can thank the man who said, we need another branch of the military. We need the Space Force. Remember how he was ridiculed over that? God, he was mocked and insulted. And now, even the very left-wing useful idiots and tools are acknowledging, well, all right, fine. Did Obama invent it? No. We're not going to say that. But you see, you hear exactly what's going on. It's a little crazy. It's a little crazy. But it's nice to see, and it's such a change of pace, at least for me. I don't know, maybe you're not feeling it, but for me to see an administration that really is doing what it said it would do. Even if you hate Donald Trump, and let's not face it, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, let's face it, there are plenty of people that they just hate him. Default reaction, I don't like, okay. But can you, if you dislike him, argue that he's doing something other than what he promised to do? Maybe that's the thing that bothers people on the left so much. They're used to being lied to, and they're happy being lied to. They like it when their political overlords say one thing and do another. They were a little shocked, perhaps, when they had the kind of animatronic Biden out there saying things that, well, apparently they intended to do, which probably was a shock. But here you have a guy who said, here are the things we're going to do. It was really straightforward, wasn't it? Plain spoken. People do like to knock the president for talking about the greatest this or it'll be the best that. I got news for you. I love this country. I am so grateful to be an American. And I do think we're exceptional. In fact, I don't just think it. I know it. That doesn't mean I look down on anybody else. I just know that there is something oh so special about the United States of America. And it has been special since the day we started this little experiment called America. And I'm proud of this nation. I love this nation. And I love leaders at the top who are doing everything humanly possible to protect the people of this nation and move us forward. Every one of us is at a point where we pay our bills, right? We have expenses. We have responsibilities. Most of us who are part of this program have children, grandchildren in some cases, nieces, nephews. Most of us, age-wise, generationally speaking, are looking at what is next for our kids, our grandkids, our nieces, our nephews. And we want the best for them. This president is offering them the very best that's available. Not perfect. Absolutely not perfect. And if you can show me any plan that is perfect, if you can show me any human being who is perfect, then by God, I will sit down and shut up. Or I'll shut up first and then sit down. Again, those options are always out there. But I'm going down my list. I've checked it twice. I haven't come across that. 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 4:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. 76 years old, George Wendt passed away. It happens to all of us, obviously. But he was a great actor, I thought, and the character Norm was just so much fun. So George Wendt passed away. So I just thought I'd mention that to you because many of us grew up on Cheers and remember it quite fondly. Some very disturbing news coming from the city of Richmond. Oh, I know. I'll give you a second. Go get your shocked face. I know. But apparently some kids have been traveling around the city of Richmond taking down, stealing William Burnett for Sheriff signs. I got the information that they were encountered, I guess it was the Richmond Police Department, with 100 signs or more in the car. I mean, young people. And William Burnett says he's absolutely positively going to prosecute them. Good. Now, what I would like to do, Germ, why don't we reach out to William Burnett or somebody who's helping him out and get him on the air to talk about that? Because it's absolutely disgusting, and I would like to think that the current sheriff of the city of Richmond, the worst sheriff in America, had nothing to do with this. That I would like to think that, and I will keep saying that, but it's an awful story, and so I want to get William Burnett on to talk about that. And of course, June 17th is the big election. My hope, I make no apologies for it, is that he will be successful and save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office from the absolute abomination and disaster that Antoinette Irving has turned it into. 4:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a lovely Tuesday afternoon. It really, honest to goodness, is fantastic. You need to either be outside or open a window. It's 77 right now, relatively low humidity, although that's going to pick up because we got rain rolling in. It's actually going to be this evening when it starts raining, and that's going to be rock solid heavy rain, could be an inch by the time we hit the morning. So tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., please make sure that you're listening to Richmond's Morning News to figure out what's going on with the roadways and all of that good stuff. Tomorrow afternoon, 5:05, William Burnett, candidate for sheriff in the city of Richmond, is going to be with us. We just found out about, what was it, 100 signs that people had gone around stealing, apparently young people, kids, in the city of Richmond. I want to find out what's really going on. So that's going to be tomorrow at 5:05. Every Tuesday afternoon, I am thrilled to welcome Craig Peterson to chat with us. Just a solid, solid guy. Funny, smart, knows everything about everything when it comes to tech and staying safe. I am a religious follower. I am online at craigpeterson.com. craigpeterson.com is where I signed up for the free newsletter. You should do the same. Craig, thank you for being here, sir.
Oh, hey, and I take donations as well. I'll pass the tray around afterwards.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, I did not know, but I will reach deep in my pocket and pull something out other than lint, I promise you. Yeah, I love it.
All right, I'm doing great.
That's good. That's good. It's always good to hear your voice. There's so much that you cover this week. I honestly don't know where to begin. I'm looking at the AI stuff, as I always do, thinking, well, how long till they take my job? And apparently, what is it, Klarna, one of those finance companies, said, yeah, we got to fire our AI, right?
Yeah, well, Klarna and Duolingo both. They launched a whole AI initiative. They laid off people. They said, yeah, we're going AI first, as have a lot of other companies. Yeah. And they said, you know, this AI that we've got in place over at Klarna is doing the work of about 700 customer service agents, which is just incredible. But it turns out that humans aren't so fond of dealing with AI. They can't answer questions or solve problems for them. That's why they contacted the company in the first place, especially when you're talking about a financial relation in a company. Yeah. And so they pushed back hardly. Duolingo, which my wife uses, she's been working on learning to speak French so she can speak with me when I get into my French moods.
Okay.
And she's used it for years now, and she has been, I listen to it, and I think half of the time these speakers, I can't understand what they're saying. And I was educated in French schools, you know, come on, people.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second there, Peterson. Now, you were French schools, but they were Canadian French schools, which, as you know, the French, they look down on.
Yes, they up down their nose or up That's their nose. Right. I'm not That's sure how right. you. Yeah, something to do with the nose. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, in Quebec, it's Louis the 14th French, and then the French in France, in Paris particularly, have got their own little snotty little accent that they use, and so Quebec has this old French language, which is controlled by the government, by the way. The government tells you what words you can say, what words you can't say. And in France, it's much more modern. They've actually adopted English words for things like, they say popcorn instead of mets soufflé. And they have stuff like that. So yes, indeed. So Duolingo has decided that they're going to go back to humans talking to try and teach you the language so you get the accent right and everything else.
Wow.
Yeah, it's backfiring, this whole AI first thing across the board.
Wow. It's going to sound nasty, but I love that. I'm happy to hear that our robot overlords are not quite ready to lord over us.
Yeah, well, all hail the robot overlords, but be that as it may, yes, they're not ready. We really don't have anything to worry about when we're talking about this AGI, which artificial general intelligence, in other words, basically human-like reasoning abilities. That is not coming soon. I don't care what Sam Altman and others say. It won't come until there is a big breakthrough in how they train the AIs. Right now, the large language models are great at patterns. They're pattern recognizing machines. That's all they do, and it's helpful. You know, you can use them for a lot of things, but there's no intelligence in there at all.
Wow. Well, again, that is good news, certainly for the time being. I finally got the email. You and I were talking a couple of weeks ago about Windows and how Windows 10 was completely and totally disappearing in terms of support, and so everybody would have to be brought kicking and screaming to, I guess, Windows 11. You know, our laptops from the company are actually Etch-a-Sketch 101. That's the version we have, but... They are updating our Windows thing. I got the frantic email of, oh, my God, it's not going to work tomorrow, so you should have brought it in yesterday. But what is is it Linux or Linux? Because that could be a savior.
It is. It's pronounced Linux, okay. And it's actually named after the guy that made it. His name is Linus. And so Linux, and yes, here's what you can do. If you have an older computer right now, the estimates are that half of Windows 10 computers that are in use today, half of them cannot run Windows 11. You're going to have to scrap the computer, buy a brand new one, try and move all of your files over, your programs, tell them programs aren't going to work, et cetera, et cetera. So there are options. In fact, I'm talking here about a friend of mine from Rotary Club, Pat, who switched a couple of years ago now, a few years ago, because he was talking with me and he was fed up with all of the patches on Windows and end of life. I think it might have been, you know, back when you were using Windows, back XP days. But he didn't want to do the upgrades and things, so I recommended he try Linux. So he went ahead and he downloaded Linux Mint. It's a version of Linux called Mint. Okay. And it's very Windows-like as far as user interface goes. Right. It will run on the oldest 64-bit computers that are out there. They just dropped support for the old i386s, right? The old Intel 386s. Okay. But they'll run on almost anything. You don't have to download drivers. You don't have to hunt for them all over creation. You don't have to go and find the old drivers because the new drivers don't work. And wait a minute, this is one digit off here in the model number, and that's not working. None of that is a problem in Linux. It just recognizes almost every piece of hardware that's ever been made. It patches itself automatically when there are security problems. The kernel, a lot of the applications patch themselves. In fact, pretty much everything. You've got a couple of different versions of Office, if you will, Microsoft Office type apps. They're not from Microsoft. They're third party, open source. None of it costs you a dime. And even if you have a computer that can run Windows 11, mm-hmm. have a look at Linux, because you can do what's called a live thumb drive. And what that is you download it from the internet on your Windows computer, you put it onto one of those wonderful little USB thumb drives, yeah. And then you reboot your computer off of the thumb drive. So it's not going to install Linux. It's going to run it off of the thumb drive. It's so fast, so small, it'll fit onto a thumb drive. Wow. And then you can play with it. You can figure out, do I like this? Is this going to work for me? And you can do all of your email in there, all of your web browsing. You can write documents. You can use AI. You can do everything in Linux that most people need to do. So what I did this week is I put together an article that goes into some detail on this. Mm-hmm. I also created a PDF that helps you decide, do I really need Windows? Can I move to Linux? And the basics of how you would do it. And my wife and I have been threatening to put together a webinar showing people exactly how to do it. And it's probably going to happen next month, we think. But we'll see. You know, talk about that a little bit more. But this is going to save a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, please do that, Craig. Seriously, I'm listening to what you're saying. I read through the article and look, I may not be a Luddite man, but I don't know. I get so weirded out when I'm supposed to move stuff or transfer this and that, and then I'm thinking, oh, I'm just going to break the interwebs again, you know, and then nobody's going to be able to download pictures of cats or whatever it is. But this actually sounds like something that even I theoretically could do.
Absolutely. You can download those pictures of Jeff Katz. You can do pretty much anything you want to do on Linux, and it is way more secure than Windows ever was, or is now, or will be in any time in the future we can foresee. It is just fantastic stuff. Privacy, everything built in. It's been developed over the last few decades here, and is designed to be extremely safe. It's basically every server that you might go to online. You know, you go to a website, you even go to banks, etc. All of those machines are running Linux, Jeff. They're not running Windows. And Microsoft wasn't even running Windows for its infrastructure until a few years ago. It was using Linux for its DNS servers and other things because Windows just couldn't handle it.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, yes, I want you guys to put together the webinar then, because I would absolutely attend that. I think that would be so cool. Can I ask you a question that's not really related to tech, but you did bring it up, and then we chatted about it a little bit. You don't mind, do you?
No, no.
All right. Do you ever get weirded out when you go to France and you see more English there than you do, say, in Montreal? And, of course, that's because of Bill 101 and the crazy people in Quebec?
Yeah, you remember that, do you? Yeah, the FLQ, the fun-loving Quebecers. Yeah, kidnapped James Cross.
Oh, my God.
Blew up statues. Yeah. It is a little odd, frankly. But it's totally different culture. You know, in Quebec, it's everyone kind of to themselves. You go over to France, you can sit out in the street and have a wonderful, you know, coffee, watching people go by. There's so much you can do. So it's different. There's no two ways about it. And both countries are a little bit pissy, if you will, when it comes to speaking their language, right? The French will be quick to correct you about whether it's a male or female pronoun.
Yes.
In Quebec, they won't even pay attention to you if you're not speaking French in some places. And just about last month in Quebec, the language police, yes, they have language police in Quebec.
Yep.
The language police, they go around to businesses to see if you're greeted in English or in French. Because, as you mentioned, Bill 101 from the 70s changed kind of everything. So they found that far too many businesses were greeting people in English.
Yep.
So they're trying to figure out what to do. How can we stop people from speaking English?
And you know that allo no longer passes muster.
Yeah.
Right?
There's so many crazy things we can talk about, like stop signs, right?
Yeah.
Stop is a correct French word that means stop. But in Quebec, that sounds too much like English. So they change all of the stop signs in the entire province, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands, to a red. And they said, well, that's not correct. So let's do a red stop. No, that's not correct. So they changed them all again, you know, multiple times, just for the purity of Louis the 14th French.
It's crazy. En atte, monsieur. All right. Well, that's it is what it is.
LLZ.
Remind everybody where they can sign up for your newsletter and the occasional discussion of the bizarre intricacies of La Belle Provence.
There you go. CraigPeterson.com is my website right there on the homepage. You can sign up. This is the free newsletter. Comes out pretty much every week, and I try and write an article like this about can you replace Windows with Linux. I write them every week and give you a playbook that you can download and share with friends. CraigPeterson.com.
You are the best, my friend. Thank you for being here. We will talk soon. That is Craig Peterson. And if you want to make sure your old Windows operating laptop is up to date, safe, secure, he keeps talking about Linux. And I'm going to go and take a look at that. Now, the company laptop is the company laptop. Look, I'm not putting anything on. I'm not taking anything off. That it doesn't belong to me. So it is what it is. But you know, I still have that that Windows thing. Now, I think my Windows is far past Windows 10, so I think I'm okay. But Linux just sounds so user-friendly. And as he said, it's far more secure than Windows ever was. And yes, I still am going to get the Apple product. I know I've talked about it for a solid year now, but it's coming. Just trust me on that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Big decision coming down from the Supreme Court. Man, they're hitting them out of the park at the moment, a 7-2 decision. Remember that state rep up in Maine. What's her name? Laurel Libby. Laurel Libby said girls' sports ought to be for girls' sport. For girls playing sports. Let me try that again. Girls' sports should be for girls, period. End of story. Why? Because Maine has this absolute insanity where if you're a boy and you say, well, I'm a girl, and they go, well, go ahead, suit up, go play against all the girls, run against all the girls, and help yourself to all of their scholarships and trophies and everything else. Well, this state lawmaker up there said this is outrageous. And I'm going to fight on behalf of girls. And girls' sports should be for girls. The state of Maine officially censured her. The state legislature up there, she's not allowed to speak on the floor, blah, blah, blah. Said, hey, this is free speech. State of Maine said doesn't apply here in the state of Maine, in the state house. The Supreme Court said, dear state of Maine, you are bat crap crazy. Fix this immediately. Love and kisses, seven members of the Supremes. Now, they had some slightly different wording. You know, they get all legalese and Latin terms, but that's what they said. So now it's up to the state of Maine to fix that, or they will be violating this decision from the Supreme Court. Pretty interesting. 4:57, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:06, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. It is glorious tomorrow. In fact, 24 hours from today, William Burnett is going to join us. He is looking to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office. As you and I know, because we've chatted about it over the last 8 years, since Dr. Antoinette Irving has been the sheriff. That agency has consistently found itself over budget, understaffed, extremely dangerous. Multiple inmate deaths. It's a horrible, horrible place. And it is thanks to the sheriff. She has done an unbelievable job of running the sheriff's office absolutely into the ground. Richmond City Jail was a state-of-the-art facility when she became sheriff. Sheriff C.T. Woody was there. Remember Tony Pham? Isn't Tony with us tomorrow? I think Tony's with us tomorrow or Thursday or something. I mean, Tony's a dear friend, but Tony, of course, was a prosecutor, worked for Sheriff Woody for a long time, handling the legal stuff inside the sheriff's office in the city. Then he was out at Virginia Peninsula Regional Jail, did a great job out there, and of course now is back in D.C. So it was just a great facility. I mean, look, it was a jail. I'm not telling you anybody wanted to book a week there because they had some free time and a desire to sip fruity cocktails or something. That wasn't going to happen. It was still a jail, but it was state of the art, and the sheriff's office was trained and staffed appropriately. It wasn't crazy over budget. None of that. Now it's just an absolute freaking disaster. And God help you if you get locked up in the city of Richmond. Right? I mean, most of us are thinking, hey, it's not going to happen to me. I'm all good. Blah, blah, understood. But if, in fact, you were to find yourself inside the Richmond City Jail, oh, or you have a family member that winds up inside the Richmond City Jail, you better hope and pray they survive. You got somebody who works as a deputy for the Richmond City Sheriff's Office in this day and age? Man, you better keep those folks in your prayers. You care about budgets? I mean, let's take it away from the human tragedy. Let's talk about dollars and cents. Okay, let's talk about dollars and cents. So far over budget, so far out of whack. Anyway, I know I'm going off on a tangent. This just happens to be one of my things. It just bugs me to no end what's happened down there. And William Burnett is running for sheriff. Big election happens on June 17th. I think didn't early voting either. I think it started, or maybe it starts this week. And at the end of it, we'll know who the sheriff's going to be. And William Burnett had apparently at least 100 signs that had been stolen. And it looks like it was organized and orchestrated. young people, I guess. I don't know if they were under 18. I just got a text and some photos and a copy, a link to a news story. So I'm not getting into too many details. I'll let William do that tomorrow. But it does look like 100 of his signs taken down, stolen. And you have to wonder, who's really behind that? Who said, hey, go out and steal those signs? Do you just decide off the top of your head, I'm going to steal signs of this particular candidate? Or does somebody say, well, you know, if you're thinking about stealing some campaign signs, well, those would be good signs to steal. I don't know. We'll find out from William tomorrow. Hey, we have this audio of Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who I'm telling you every single day just proves how freaking smart he is and how tough he is. And nobody seemed to fully understand that. And now he's just reminding them day in, day out. And he's kind of facing off with Tiny Tim Kaine of harmonica fame and garden gnome resemblance. And it's interesting. So I'll tell you what. I don't know where you're just going to roll it, right, Germ? Just start it, and we'll listen to some of it, and then we'll stop it, and then we'll go from there. Germ, go ahead. Let it rip.
So can allowed. You have a different standard based upon the color of somebody's skin? Would that be acceptable?
Well, I'm not the one arguing that. Apparently you are, because you don't like the fact that they're
I'm
white, and that's why they're coming.
I'm just asking you to say that would be unacceptable.
Well, no, I would say that the United States...
a very easy thing
the United States has a right to pick and choose who they allow into the United
Even
States.
Even based on the color of somebody's skin.
No one's, you're the one that's talking about the color of their skin, not me. These
you're
are people whose farms were being burned down, and they were killed
even-handed.
Because of the color of their skin. Well,
by an executive order on the first day of his presidency, President Trump... paused all refugee programs and has canceled contracts to the agencies like the U.S. Catholic Church or Lutheran Refugee Services or HIAS or Church World Services who've been resettling refugees. Those programs are paused. There is litigation about it, but as far as I know, the United States is not, or the administration has not withdrawn the executive order. So there's essentially from this administration no refugee programs for anyone except. In early February, the president announced a special refugee program for Afrikaner farmers, justified, A, by some concerns about South Africa and foreign policy, but B, a claim that these were persecuted individuals. So right now, the U.S. refugee program allows a special program for Afrikaner farmers, the first group of whom arrived at Dulles Airport in Virginia not long ago, while shutting off the refugee program for everyone else. Do you think Afrikaner farmers are the most persecuted group in the world?
I think those 49 people that came certainly felt they were persecuted, and they passed every sort of check mark that had to be checked off in terms of meeting the requirements for that.
Do you think
live in a country where farms are taken, the land is taken on a racial basis.
Okay. Do you think they're more persecuted than Uyghurs or Rohingyas, or more persecuted than political dissidents in Cuba or Venezuela or Nicaragua, or more persecuted than those who would be threatened should they be returned to Afghanistan by violence by the Taliban?
Well, the problem we face there is the volume problem, okay? If you look at all the persecuted people of the world, it's millions of people. They can't all come here. And we had refugee programs.
So why prioritize Afrikaner farmers?
Well, because it's a small subset. It's a new issue. And the president identified it as a problem and wanted to use it as an example. But that's different from having these refugee programs that were basically spending money to put people up in communities and accommodate them. And it was acting as a magnet. Millions of people in our country illegally. And today the border is sealed.
Let me challenge you. And I'm just going to say for the public, if you want to understand about the, quote, persecution of Afrikaner farmers, go look at the composition of the South African government. Since July of 2024, there's a government of national unity. And the opposition party to the ANC, the Afrikaner Party, the Democracy Alliance, is part of the governing coalition.
Okay, that is actually not true, just so we're clear. Now, the Afrikaners, even though we have heard so much from people who don't know a damn thing about the damn thing, telling us, well, you know, these are they're white people and they're Dutch and they showed up last year. And so no, the Boer population, B-O-E-R, has been in South Africa since about 1600. Now, I'm not here to tell you that it was a great group of human beings, and I am certainly not here to tell you that apartheid was anything any different than bigotry, ugliness, racism, hatred, violence. We all stipulate to that. But these 49 folks who were rescued not only were having their farms taken away from them, and that's happened at this point to thousands of white farmers in South Africa, where land is now being seized from whites and given to blacks based entirely 100% on skin color. That's a fact. But you're also seeing the wholesale slaughter of those white farmers. And white farmers who have attempted to stay have been murdered. That's what motivates this group. And Marco Rubio makes very clear, it's a very small group. Marco Rubio doesn't discount any of the other groups that Tiny Tim Kaine, when he takes the kazoo out of his ear, pretends to be concerned with. Marco Rubio says, here's a chance to save 49 human beings. So that's what we did. And they met all of the benchmarks. They cleared every hurdle that is in place to keep the United States of America safe. You going to score this? I'll tell you right now, Marco Rubio by a TKO. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 520, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a lovely Tuesday afternoon. We are going to have rain rolling in another hour or so, and it's going to be with us pretty much through the overnight. And I am looking, latest says we could pick up an inch of rain, believe it or not. So please make sure you stay close for that. And tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be here. Rich is the host of Richmond's Morning News. Obviously going to get you where you need to go, that's for sure. But you got to be there to let him help you. All right, so that starts at 6 a.m. Quick reminder about our James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. That is always available to you. It really is. And I really would like to step up the hate texts. It just was so much fun in the past when we had the hate voicemails. They were very entertaining, and it kept the producer types busy because there was some colorful language, and the producer types would actually have to go in there and insert beeps and buzzes and, you know, kept them on their toes. Now with the text, well, it's not quite the same, but if you do hate me, and you hate me on a regular basis, number one, thank you. I appreciate that. But number two, send me a text on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. The only thing I ask you, please make it creative. You know, blank you, Jeff. Hope you die today. All right, I get it. You're not going to be a member of the Jeff Katz fan club, but it's not nearly creative enough. If you came up with something creative, I would share it. So by all means, unleash your bile, spill your bile, or whatever that expression, your spleen, right? Vent your spleen, and you can spill your bile and I don't know, stack the cups or something. I think there's a third part. But again, it comes into the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 1140. Oh, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, we didn't get to this part. Maybe tomorrow we'll be able to pull it out, Durham. It's over on townhall.com if you want to grab it for the end of the show. Marco Rubio says to Tiny Tim Kaine, hey, you don't like the fact they're white. And that is exactly correct. That is what's motivating all of this from Tim Kaine. I mean, Tim Kaine is an unrepentant leftist. Got it. Loves the, is it a kazoo or a harmonica? I'm always confused. Whatever it is. And always likes to pretend he's just one of the guys. He hasn't been one of the guys. Even that whole thing about renaming streets. You remember that, right? A couple of years back. Oh, I got to rename the streets and the schools and this. Okay. How many decades did Tiny Tim Kaine live on Confederate Avenue and never once did he say, boy, I got to get the neighborhood together here and change the name of this street. This just doesn't rub me the right way. He was totally okay with that until it became politically advantageous to be against it, right? So he's not exactly an honorable sort of a guy. But Marco Rubio called him out today. Told everybody exactly what it was. And he said to Tim Kaine, you don't like the fact that they're white. And that is exactly 110% of the reason why Tim Kaine is on his little tiny soapbox behaving like, oh, you got it. All right, yeah, do me a favor. Just throw that up there, will you, Jerm?
Says you are entitled to entrance as a refugee if you demonstrate a well-justified fear of persecution.
No, you're not entitled.
So
you're allowed.
Can you have a different standard based upon the color of somebody's skin? Would that be acceptable?
Well, I'm not the one arguing that. Apparently you are, because you don't like the fact that they're
I'm
white, and that's why they're coming.
I'm just asking you to say that that would be unacceptable.
Well, no, I would say that the United States...
a very easy thing
The United
to
States
say.
Has a right to pick and choose who they allow into the United
Even
States.
Even based on the color of somebody's skin.
No, you're the one that's talking about the color of their skin, not me. These
you're
are people whose farms were being burned down and they were
be
killed because of the color of their skin.
Well, I'm...
All right. There you go. It's enough. I can't listen to Tim Kaine any more than I absolutely positively have to. What an awful, awful guy. But, yeah. Anyway. All right. Quick favor that I have to ask of you. Go.richmond.com/thebest. That's where you go to nominate the Jeff Katz Show for the Best Afternoon Radio Show. I have been blessed to have won that for the last 5 years. This would be year number 6. If, in fact, I'm here in year number 7, and we're fortunate enough to win year 6 and 7, you know what would happen? I would never have to ask you again, because if you win it 7 years in a row, they take you out of the competition. They retire you. They retire your microphone. That'd be pretty cool. So all the more reason to nominate The Jeff Katz Show as the Best Afternoon Radio Show. It doesn't cost you anything. They're not asking you for any information. Go.richmond.com/thebest. 526, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. It is beautiful. It really is. I keep saying that. Plenty of time to get out on your patio or your deck or in the yard. Just enjoy it a little bit, because we are going to have rain rolling in the next couple of hours, and it's going to be really heavy through the overnight. You could pick up, I guess, taking a look at it, maybe a full inch of rain, depending on where you are. Again, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be here, Richmond's Morning News, and you should take a listen to that. Make sure you get where you need to go. All right, so one of the things that most of us understand is that President Trump has a certain feel for economic issues, creating jobs. Mike Rowe is somebody I think most of us have enjoyed throughout the years, right? The Dirty Job Show, but also his support of young men and young women in most cases who have said, you know, I get it. A lot of folks go to college. A lot of people are saying you've got to go to college, but I love working with my hands. I really honestly would like to make some stuff or fix some stuff. And President Trump seems to be uniquely positioned to help those people. Mary Rook writes about this as only Mary can. Mary's been with us many times from the Daily Call. She's got a great piece out. And the title is Trump Can Fix Major Manufacturing Issue No One's Talking About. Well, thankfully, Mary is talking about it with us, and she's with us. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it is my pleasure. It's always good to hear your voice. So, love the piece. Not a shock there. I enjoy your writing on a variety of issues. But tell me what it is. What is it that President Trump can do that nobody's talking about when it comes to manufacturing?
You know, you brought up Mike Rowe, and I was listening to a podcast that he was on, Theo Von. Your listeners might remember him from being the comedian who interviewed Trump during the campaign process. So I'm listening to Mike talk, and he was talking about the fact that he has this, this scholarship foundation called Micro Works Foundation. And when he was on Dirty Jobs, the reason why he started this is because he was going around to all of these different dirty jobs, obviously, electrical, plumbing, road work, that sort of thing. And the main thing that these companies were talking about was that they cannot get enough people in hired for the jobs. There aren't enough people that are even looking towards these kind of work with your hands type jobs. And so he started this foundation in order to, one, give kids scholarships to be able to learn the trade, and then two, entice them into it. And then he made this point that I had thought about all weekend long after I'd listened to it. And it was that under the Obama administration, whenever Obama had the Highway Infrastructure Act out, he had put out this kind of open letter to him saying, we need a PR game here. If you want people to come in and work these jobs, you have to make them, you know, appealing to the younger, you know, student that's in sophomore in high school and, you know, senior in high school coming up through instead of going to college. You don't want to do that. You don't see that as your path, but what are you going to do with your life here? Let's put you in a trade and let's show you how to do something that is worthwhile and actually means something to this country. And of course, Obama did not take him up on that offer, but I was thinking, you know, who's perfectly positioned to be able to do something like this is President Trump. We're talking about Mr. TV. We're talking about Mr. Blue Collar Worker. We're talking about the man that, you know, has no problem going to a job site and chumming it up with the guys on there while also being in the penthouse on Madison Square. So you sit there and you look at Trump and you say, okay, let's get this PR game going. You know, let's get something out of the White House showing. Let's put, you know, ads on TV. Let's put ads on billboards. Let's start a scholarship program. You know, Senator Ted Cruz has this program out that says Invest America, and he wants to give $1,000 to every child that's born in America. And I say, instead of doing that, let's put some money towards a scholarship for kids to go into trade so that when Trump does bring these jobs back to America, we have people that are already skilled and ready to enter the workforce. And I think it's so important to note here that, you know, if Trump is successful with this, we're talking about millions of jobs without the skilled workforce to be able to enter them. And so we really need to start now. The investments are coming in. We're going to see these plants being built. We're going to see these jobs opening. And so we really need to start now to let these kids know, hey, listen, there is an avenue for you. You want to own your own business? Well, guess what? Let's give you an electrical business. Let's show you how to wire a house. Let's show you how to wire a building. You want to own a plumbing business? Let me show you how to do it, and really give them the skills to be able to uplift the middle class. Because if you remember, that's how the American dream, that's really what it rested on. It wasn't on Main Street or Wall Street. It was, it was on Wall Street, or not on Wall Street, I'm trying to say. And it was, you know, those people that worked these blue collar jobs, and they were able to have the wife stay home, still put their kids in college, and be able to have, you know, a new car and own a home and all these things. And we want to be able to give that American dream to the next generation. And right now it's a little too far out of grasp for several people in my generation, especially, you know, whenever you go younger. So,
you know, this is the interesting thing, Mary. Mary Rook is joining us. She's an absolutely brilliant writer. You find her over at the Daily Caller. We have an age disparity here. I am older than you are, but it was my parents' generation, for the most part, that told my generation, and perhaps even back one generation further, said to us, they said things like, hey, we work with our hands so you don't have to. We work with our hands so you can work with your brain. So all of these kids, you know, including me, kind of grew up with this mindset of, I'm smart. No, I'm just going to, I never have to get dirty. I don't know. But here's where I am now. And many of my generation, we can't make anything. We can't fix anything. Apparently, we're really smart. There's a piece of paper hanging on the wall or something. Half of us seem to have degrees in, I don't know, ancient secret whispering literature or some such crap that doesn't get you a job, right? I mean, they're all useless. Meanwhile, when something is broken, you pick up the phone and you call the plumber that you, when you were in school, probably made fun of. He now owns that business, takes more vacations than you could imagine, and you're paying him hundreds of dollars an hour. Who wins that, right? I mean, it is that person who can make or fix things. God bless them.
Absolutely. And, you know, you really saw that in my generation as well, where it was whenever you were in high school, your high school would talk about all the kids that were going into college. You know, you would have your list of, oh, we're 92% college acceptance rate, or, you know, something to that effect. But what you weren't seeing is, hey, this kid went into this trade school and by the time I graduate from college and I have all the student loan debt, he actually owns his own business and has been working for 4 years and is very successful, owns his own condo, owns his car outright. You know, you don't see those types of success stories. So I think that if we can, if we play this correctly and we are able to sell this to younger generations, we'll be able to build that skilled workforce. You know, my husband works in what you would consider a blue collar workforce. Now he has an office job, so he's not getting his hands dirty.
Right.
So I'm a little bit of a charlatan on this area, but he is, you know, he does work with a lot of the guys in the shop. He has to, you know, interface with them a lot. And he talks to them. And one of the things that stood out to him was that some of these guys in the shop are really old and they're pushing retirement age. And the one thing that he worries about is when these guys retire, what is going to happen to his shop with all of the knowledge that will retire with them? And so I think that that's what we're seeing right now, is that we're seeing all this knowledge kind of die out, and we need to bring it back before it does, so that our country doesn't lose the ability to build things. And I think that's what Trump knows inherently. Yep. And so that's why he's trying to bring manufacturing back to this country. But in order to do that, we have to excite a younger generation into it. You know, I talked about this in the piece where during, you know, after World War One and World War Two, we really had this huge push about how patriotic it was to go into the workforce, especially manufacturing, like steel manufacturing.
Yep.
And, you know, the government did a PR campaign about how patriotic it was and really invited people in there. And I thought this one thing that was really important was that U.S. Steel, so the manufacturing hub for steel in the United States, helped the U.S. government. They went into public libraries and junior highs and high schools and college and said, hey, listen, we want you. And they put up these displays in public libraries and across school campuses and really did a huge push to show everything that steel does for America, how important it was and how important their job would be. And so I think what, like you said, the thing that we've lost is being able to tell these people that their jobs are important. You know what's not important? Wall Street. I know a lot of people have their 401ks nestled in there, but that's not real life. Real life is what you can build with your hands. It's like, you know, everything's all great and dandy until the lights go out and your toilet starts flushing.
That's right.
And your water is not being treated anymore. And so those are the types of jobs we need to be able to bring back and tell people, hey, these are really good jobs and we're proud of you for doing them and our country needs them really terribly. So please, let's get our kids into them. So, you know, I have a lot of boys in my family, and that's one of the things that I tell all my sisters. I'm like, come on, let's get your boys in some trades. And my brother-in-law, actually, his family owns a septic company, and, you know, it's like a father and son septic business. And he's like, I'm going to get my boys into it. So it'd be grandfather, son, and grandson business, hopefully one of these days. And so it's an important part of our country. I think Trump is, like I said, especially positioned to be able to do something like this, and working along with someone like Mike Rowe, who America loves, would be a great thing for our country.
I think this is brilliant, Mary. Absolutely brilliant. You don't mind. I'm going to share this on social media and get our conversation out there as well, because I want people to hear it. I also want people, in addition to reading you with the Daily Caller, they should be following you on X. Do you mind reminding everybody of your handle over there?
Absolutely. It's a little bit of a difficult one, so you got to follow with me. It's at Mary Rook. My last name is spelled R-O-O-K-E, so at Mary Rook with an underscore.
Okay. Fair enough. Your married name, Mrs. Underscore.
Yep.
I love it, Mary. love your stuff. Can't wait to get you back on. That is Mary Rook. You find her at the Daily Caller. Please read her over there, Mary Rook underscore on X. And how about it? Anybody else on board to rebuild this sort of stuff? I talk about it all the time. I am so jealous of folks who know how to make things or fix things. It's one of the reasons that Stan Andruski took pity on me, like I was a wandering puppy. It's, yes, you can hang out of the shop, because I watch these guys diagnose stuff and fix stuff, and it just blows my socks off. I love it. And I got to tell you something, for anybody who's listening, well, I don't know. You don't come out of school with $100,000 in debt. You do come out with a job that within the first year, 2 years, you're making six figures. What the hell is wrong with that? Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Wow. Dang. Germ, is that it? Really? That's Tuesday? Gosh. All right. Well, Didn't stink too bad, did it, Jeremy? I mean, I thought we kind of pulled it out, pulled it off. See, this is what happens. And I'm just going to tell you, when you set the bar lower, way easier to hit it. It's the truth. Taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Berkeley in Mechanicsville says, "Hey, Jeff, that young gal is spot on. My daddy gave me diplomas for every branch of repair. Everything from auto repair to plumbing, and boy, am I grateful I was not college material. LOL." Listen, not everybody needs to go to college. Some people need to go to college. Some people want to go to college. Some people enjoy going to college. And some people know early on, it's not my thing. I've told the story a million times of my neighbor, right? Alan Isidore grew up. He was a couple of years older than I was. I was a smart kid. I got A's and all that good stuff. Alan got C's. But Alan loved electrical stuff. He loved putting stuff together and powering it up and make it work. And I did really well in school. And Alan did not. Alan barely graduated high school, but he did. And then he went and became an apprentice electrician. Alan retired, if you will, as a multimillionaire, having built that little electrician job he had into a multi-million dollar electrical contracting business. And I don't think he ever looked back. He went, he played hockey was his thing. Still is, still plays hockey. Goes on a lot of vacations. He's just fine. He was a good guy. I'm sure he's still a good guy. Seriously. You do you. That is chapter 1, verse 1, Book of Jamal. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.